Hey guys, welcome back to Burger Bounce, episode 2, series 2. Today we managed to grab a quick chat with Chef Liz Young during a busy prep morning at the Wine Rooms in Cambridge. It's a super quick one today, so grab a cup of tea and have a listen. Enjoy!
Hello Liz.
Hello Charlie.
Thanks for coming on. Right Liz, let's get into it. You were born in New Zealand, born and brought up in New Zealand. Tell us about the food that you were brought up on. What did you eat as a child? What were like your favourite things? Give us like an insight into this kind of New Zealand food in the 80s, I imagine.
Oh yeah, 80s. What did we grow up on? I think just fish, lots of fish, I suppose. That featured a lot. Meat, three veg, those sorts of things.
Kind of classic.
Yeah,
stuff.
But I think also the fact that we had the availability of seafood so readily available and it was just part of the culture, I think that is probably one of my fondest memories of eating every day. So we'd have fish at least once or twice a week and it was fresh. It's not like it's been hanging out for 2 days before it gets to you like it does quite often here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what type of what dishes in particular? Like, would your mum cook a lot with your dad?
Dad loves cooking, but he liked having time to do it, so he was more of a weekend cook.
Which is a kind of a theme. I feel like Mark said the same. I always said the same as well about how mum's cooking the week because they're the ones there day to day, and then the dads take over at the weekends.
Yeah, even though they both worked, mum would call us up from, and we knew when we came home from school that we had to get the washing in and peel the potatoes. We had potatoes at every single meal, and I'd have the same conversation every day. I don't want to peel the potatoes. I don't want potatoes for dinner. And my mum would say, I don't care what you want. Your father wants potatoes. Peel the potatoes.
Fair enough. I'd be the same to my kids now, wouldn't you?
But having said that, one of my favourite meals when my mum comes over and I still is one of the things that I ask her to make me is schnitzel. So she has to go to the butcher's and order on the veal because it has to be veal, and mashed potato and peas.
Yum. Really
with
simple.
Tomato sauce.
Except with tomatoes
on the side. But the tomato sauce isn't the same as what we grew up with. And
right. I was so just as
there was completely different.
Okay. I was just about to kind of the tomato sauce. So it was what, like a homemade type thing?
No, it was Watty's tomato sauce. So it wasn't ketchup. It wasn't called ketchup. It was tomato sauce. And then you also get Whitlocks, like this relishy stuff, which is like a tomato sauce, but slightly different, which is really good too. But
nice.
That's just another story.
So what was your absolute favourite thing to eat as a kid? Like in the house, outside? Like, what was your thing?
I don't know. I was pretty good at eating quantity and variety, more so than my sister ever was. So I think I just ate anything that was put in front of me, really. I loved going. My parents were quite good. We'd go out for dinner quite often. Mm-hmm. So we were always taken with them, regardless of what time it was. If we were tired, we were just told to go under the table and go to sleep.
Wow.
Or lie on the, if there was
chairs.
Like, yeah. And that was it, because my father was very, no, we haven't finished, so you have to wait. Which I think is good, looking back on it, because I think we pandered sometimes to children's needs of getting them home to bed. So, I mean, a happy balance probably would have been quite nice, but yeah. So, but in the 80s and that, it was like smoked salmon, all those sorts of things, which was quite posh, I suppose, in those days. Prawns, shrimps.
We didn't really eat out that much in the 80s at all. I don't really remember, or if we did, it was like chippies. It was like going to the chippy or those sort of places. Or if we went out for like Mother's Day Sunday lunch, it was huge. Like it was like a really big deal. We'd like dress up for it. It's so funny now, isn't it, thinking back. But yeah, it was a really, I always remember it being like, oh wow, we're going out for Sunday lunch. So yeah, it's interesting that you were saying that you kind of, your parents actually went out quite a bit and ate, and you guys kind of went along with them. She's kind of quite modern in lots of respects.
Yeah, and I think we were quite different to my friends' families. I had one other friend, and her name's Yonja, and she's still my friend, and she did, her family did a lot, but they were, I don't know how to put it, so she did the same. So we'd quite often see her in the local restaurant, so it would be like across the table saying hello, but all eating our smoked salmon and funny things like that.
Nice.
But we never had takeaways as kids.
Oh, really?
We were never allowed takeaways.
So you either ate food at home around the table that was cooked for you by your parents, or you went out to eat. That was it.
So we were never like, and at the very rare occasion that my father would go away for work, maybe once a year, the first thing Mum would say was, "We're getting takeaways." Until we got out to our teens, and then we'd go to the fish and chips from the fish and chip shops. But we didn't get McDonald's. We didn't have anything.
Wow,
which is quite odd in a way. But yeah, Mum really wanted it, but Dad was like, "Nope."
So, what point did you realise you wanted to do? To be a chef and make food part of your career? Was it something that you had ideas of when you were younger, or did you kind of fall into it and then you were like, oh, this is quite, I quite like this, I'm going to do this?
I don't think I ever really wanted to be a chef when I was younger. I always really enjoyed cooking at home, and I was always encouraged and allowed, and my grandparents were big influences in that way. So I was very competent at home. But when I was at school, so slightly different schooling to here. So when I was at school, we'd go through high school, and it was our last year was called seventh form. So I did that, and then I was really quite adamant that I wanted to take a year out of going to university. But in New Zealand, that here it's quite common to take gap years, but at home then it wasn't. I mean, possibly is more so, I'm not quite sure. But my parents said, no, you have to go to university. If you don't go to university, you won't ever go. You can't take a year out. So I did go to university for several years. And whilst I was at uni, I worked in a local restaurant. And I think that just fueled everything. And then by the end of a few years, I was like, I don't really like university. And there was a lot of time spent on the beach when I should be in lecture halls.
Sounds amazing.
So I wasn't the studious student. I left uni and then I moved to Australia.
So you moved to Australia to Sydney?
Yeah.
And with the intention to get a job in a restaurant as a chef?
So I went and did training over there. So I did like a 4-year apprenticeship in Sydney. So that was, I shortened it because I went to I don't know what the equivalent, TAFE it was called. So I did that full time for 6 months, I think it was. And then you go one day a week for several years whilst working the rest of the days in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, went over and did. And I think it was a good way of learning what restaurants were like. And we also got paid at the same time. I mean, it was pretty abysmal, but
standard seems to be standard in that industry.
So
how long did you work in Australia? Because I know you were then a private chef, weren't you? So you traveled all over the world. So when did you start? Did you always want to travel? Was that something in your kind of psyche that you were like, I'd like to travel overseas, and this was a really good way of being able to do that?
I don't know whether that was my train of thought, but I loved traveling. We always traveled as a family with growing up, so we were quite, I was lucky there as well. I think I had a very lucky and privileged upbringing, which I'm grateful for now, looking back. I did my apprenticeship, I worked in restaurants, I had 3 jobs just to save up to go away. I wanted to come to Europe and to London, but I didn't want to do what the majority of people from Australia and New Zealand did, and did their OE and lived in London and had 3 people sleeping in one room and just not having any money, really. The thought of having to share things was, whoa, and dirty, scummy bathrooms, and that wasn't the life for me. So a friend I had made when I was living and working in Byron, she was a stewardess on boats. So she said, why don't you come over? Can get a job on a boat. It's a good way of seeing the world.
These like cruise liner type boats.
No, so like private yachts.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
So, wealthy people that have very large yachts to themselves. That was very nicely put. I normally don't say it like.
I get it. Where was that, in the UK or in different parts of Europe?
So my first boat I joined in France.
Yeah.
And then traveled all over the world for about 8.5 years.
Eight and a half years?
Yeah.
Okay. And you would just be cooking whatever they want, so like breakfast, like you were kind of at their disposal in a way.
Yeah, pretty much, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner, then we also had to feed the crew.
That's hardcore. That's really hard, like doing that day in, day out.
It is when the menu changes every day as well, so it's not like it's a restaurant that you can prep. The prep's the same every day, and so it sort of leads on to the next day. Whereas you had to begin the new prep
the process every day.
That's, yeah.
Wow.
And you just used to hope sometimes they went out for lunch or dinner.
So you could just have a little bit of chill time.
Used to slide in some nice restaurants to the stewardess to leave at the breakfast table. This would be a really good suggestion for lunch today.
And how long would you be on these boats for? Like 2 weeks, a month or a week, or would just
permanently? So when I first started, you just like any other job, you'd get, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month's holiday a year.
Yeah.
Unless you only did seasons. So the year was broken down into seasons. You did the Med or you did the Caribbean, or you might have gone via like Greenland and that and popped back over through Canada and come down, or you might have gone on an expedition or gone down to the Pacific or something. So it really depended
on the
boat.
That's crazy. So you've travelled quite extensively in those 8.5 years on the boat.
Yeah, and the thing is that I've seen a lot of coastal and a lot of countries, but I probably have to go back to those countries to go inland.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't
really...
It was
just ports, basically.
Ports, and I mean, one of the best places we went to, was the Galapagos.
Oh, amazing.
And I think they're really special. So to be able to take a big boat there, you have to have you have to pay the government a lot of money to be there. But you also have to take on one of their guides. So the guide has to be with you at all time whenever you're moving the boat. And you also have to give back to the environment. So this is going to sound very Ponzi, but... And he is a really lovely man. So the man that I worked for when we went there, we had a helicopter pad, so we had a helicopter. So one of his... your face is just like burst going,
Okay, carry on.
One of the things is they would take scientists up to different places to look at the animals on different islands. So he made sure that all of the crew, all 30 crew, got a turn to go in the helicopter whilst we were
there.
That's
incredible.
Which was.
Yeah.
And those memories will never ever leave me. No. And the diving was the best that I've ever...
So
it's all national park. So the sea life is so much better than the majority of the world because it's protected.
Mm. That's incredible. So there's definite perks to the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Massive perks.
Did you...
Then you get old and start getting bitter. And annoyed.
With your travelling, do you think that your cooking, when you were there cooking and now, have you taken lots of influence from the places that you travel to during those 8.5 years?
I definitely think there are influences. I think it goes in trends though as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. I don't know what else to say.
Yes. So back to now. So you're the head chef at the Wine Rooms, as we're here now, and you also have your own catering business, The Modern Table. So tell us a little bit about The Modern Table, which is you, and the type of food that you're cooking now.
So The Modern Table's me. I started it up just before COVID came in, so it took a very long lull for a while. But since the restrictions have lifted, it's really started to take off. So it's trying to get a balance between the two places. The food I love to do is anything, really. I'm slightly different to other catering companies. So everybody gets their own menu. You can't look online and sort of go, I'm going to have X choice, one, two,
menu
and three.
Menu one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because A, I get bored, and B, I don't want my clients to have the same thing as everybody else has had.
Sure, yeah.
And you don't love everything that everyone loves, so it has to be different.
Yeah, so it's a really bespoke kind of service that you give to your clients.
But it's trying to convey that, because I've got other friends saying to me, you really need to give indications on your website. But I'm like, but that's not what I'm about. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So if anyone's listening, very bespoke.
So you do anything from weddings, lunch, corporate lunches, like the list is endless.
Yeah, anything you want, ask.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to help you. But yeah, I've done lots recently, like birthdays, private dinners just for just before someone's getting married, little catering jobs, big catering jobs. It doesn't, it's fun.
And their wine room, so there's a new menu, you've just written a new menu for the wine room, so it's their autumn menu.
Yeah, so it's for, what are we in, September, October, and then it will change again beginning of November for that December.
And where and
Christmas
what sort
rush,
of, so hopefully. What sort of dishes are on the menu at the moment here?
Oh, there's duck rillette with brioche and some blackberry like jammy sort of stuff,
delicious.
And cornichon, so it's got that sweet and sharp, and I think it's quite Moorish. Vegan dips and things to try and make sure that we're inclusive
instead catering,
of
yeah.
What else do we have on thing? Really good cheese and meat. Boards, there is a salmon dish with braised and roasted fennel and cannellini beans. What else do we have? Beef short rib and polenta. I think we're starting to go back into those warming, comforting
foods. It's like my favourite. I love dishes like that.
They're
just really rich and warming and
delicious.
Yeah.
Get some
like
good
if you
bread.
Can get some bread and mop it, that's what I like.
And I kind of like coming into the season because we can do that. Like, yeah, and we've got yummy bread from KT from Allotment, so it's like you just mop.
Yes,
away.
I love that. So, what's your favourite dish on the menu if you had to choose one right now at Wine Rooms? What would you recommend if someone to come and eat?
I love the beef because it is. The salmon, I like that because it's fish.
Mm.
And we've also got like stracciatella, which is like that next step on from burrata with roasted shallots and figs.
Oh.
So that's a good bread dish
Yum.
To have with some.
Oh, yeah, that sounds amazing.
Which reminds me, I need to make sauerkraut.
Liz, you've got things to do, haven't you? I'm like, here, Liz is like, come on, I've got stuff to do. Right, so let's take it to back to where... Well, why I'm here, which is burgers. So Liz is Liz, you've actually worked with us in the kitchen, so you've actually cooked quite a lot of steak and lorna burgers for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, Liz. I actually, to be quite honest, avoided cooking the actual burgers because I was scared I was going to get told off if I didn't do it right. So I was like, I'll just do the fries and the garnish.
I'm sure you have, and I'm sure they were delicious. So what is the best burger you've ever had? What was in it? Where did you have it?
Okay.
Who are you with? Tell us.
So, in all honesty, I wasn't the biggest burger fan. I know. And you're going to say, why did I ever ask her onto this podcast? She never told me that.
No, I'm interested to know. You said you weren't the biggest burger fan.
No. Until I came here and ate yours, but we're not allowed to say that.
No,
apparently,
we're not.
So.
No, we're not.
So now I have to dig deep, and I think it's probably homemade hamburgers growing up.
Yeah.
I know that sounds quite naff, maybe, but
no,
to
I mean,
us it was really like we got to pick what went in them. So we had, and it was always made on the barbecue by my dad in the buns, and we could use that special Whitlock's tomato relishy sauce in the burgers, or tomato sauce, not ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese we could melt onto the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes, eggs, bacon,
beetroot. Beetroot is a real kind of, that's like, beetroot and pineapple are like the Aussie thing, right? Are they the new okay the New Zealand thing.
Australia.
Okay, let's just like, wrap
keep
it in
around.
One. But yeah, keep it. Which, the pineapple I can kind of get on board with, the beetroot I can. An egg? No.
Oh, no, yeah.
A fried egg?
Yeah, fried egg.
No.
Oh, it's so good, Charlie. Have you tried it before?
I'm not a fan of like the yolk breaking and then the oozing and the that kind of, no. That's, for me, it's a no.
I've been banished.
There we go. But the beetroot, yeah, I can kind of understand that. Would you have salad, like lettuce and stuff like that as well, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of leaves, yeah, sometimes. But it had to be mum's beetroot, though, that she'd pickled herself. Couldn't be from a can.
Oh, look at this.
Another thing I have to have in the fridge when I go home.
Your mum has pickled beetroot.
She has to make sure that she's done enough beetroot to sustain me while I'm there.
And were the burgers, like, quite charred?
Depends on the day and how much my dad had to drink, which probably was quite a bit, so yes.
But that's the thing, I think Rosie said something similar when she was on in the last series, that one of hers was burgers that her dad had cooked in the 70s, and having that memory of them, and it just being the memory almost more than the actual, kind of the taste in a way.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it was possibly the best tasting thing in the world, but it was just good.
Yeah.
And it was made at home.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was my burger.
I love that. It's so sweet. No, it's great. And thanks so much for sharing that with us, for coming on and taking the time to chat to me, because I know you are super busy. She was cleaning the oven right before we started recording, weren't you? So thanks, Liz. I'll let you get back to your prep, and we'll see you again for the next episode. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
There we go, short and sweet. I really want to thank Liz for letting me pop in and talk to her, because she was super busy that day. So thanks so much, Liz. You can follow her on Instagram. As well as being a chef at the Wine Rooms, we also spoke about Liz running her own catering company. So Liz can cater a wedding to an intimate dinner party and everything in between. Her food is absolutely delicious. I can completely vouch for that. Contact her and get more info at themoderntable.co.uk. I will see you next time for episode 3.